You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, it's day 334 of one of the most severe lockdowns in response to COVID anywhere in the world, where alcohol and tobacco were banned, and so too cooked chicken and cropped bottoms, lest we ever forget. The Brand Father, Jeremy Sampson, MD of Brand Finance Africa, is on the line. As always, good evening, Jeremy.
Hello, Michael. Good to be with you and your listeners, and you're reminding us of things that we've probably already forgotten.
And we have very short memories in this country. Imagine what the tax revenue surprise would have been had we got all of those sin taxes from alcohol and tobacco while people were sitting at home. Anyway, I actually want to start talking about Brand Finance's annual Soft Power Summit. You hosted it this afternoon, and I see a certain Hillary Clinton was a keynote speaker. I'm not going to ask you what she charges per appearance, but what really caught my attention was that South Africa. We have scored 37.2 out of 100. What does that mean? Well, we've ranked 37th overall. It's an increase, and I'll take it, but really what frustrates me, and I think so many people about this great country, is that we have all the ingredients and the potential to be doing so much better.
Well, I've written a piece that will go in the brochure that's coming out, I think, later today, which of course is an electronic brochure, where we have a double spread on South Africa, and myself and Dr. Petrus de Kock of Brand South Africa have written various pieces. And I talk about the fact that South Africa is such a fantastic country, has so much promise, and is consistently basically batting way below its performance and punching below its weight, whichever way you want to call it. And this is where it is so sad. I think it's very interesting that sometimes the perception outside of South Africa is more buoyant than when you live within South Africa. But I think, as we all know, we've got so many good things here, so many fantastic things, but we're like a sports car that's got about five gears, and we're stuck in second at the moment, you might say, in reverse. But I think the potential is absolutely huge, and that's what we want. Now, for us to reach that full potential, everyone has to pull together. And by everyone, I mean everyone, all the population of South Africa. Whether you're black or white, whether you're ANC or not, whether you're private sector, public, people need to pull together. And that's the only way you get yourself out of a hole. Wasn't it Warren Buffett who said, if you're in a hole, stop digging?
Yeah, and it reminds me of what Johan van Lochrenberg, he of the SARS rogue unit, which has now been discredited, that whole rogue unit narrative and tobacco wars fame. He addressed the South African Institute of Tax Practitioners, or Tax Professionals, as they call themselves now. There's so many different accounting bodies. But his message to the audience of accountants and largely high net worth South Africans, professionals in their own right, is to remember that we are operating in a developmental country. We have large parts of South Africa that are highly developed, world-leading, world-beating, and our accounting used to be up there until the various scandals. But there are still large parts, and the majority of the country, that is underdeveloped. And I think many of us tend to forget that, and we take our frustration out at the ANC government for failing to be that bridge between that developing world to a developed world. But it is up to all of us. We can't just shrug our shoulders and continually point our fingers at the failures of the ruling party. We have the ability to, within our own circles, help lift the communities around us.
Well, absolutely. But I think the crying shame part of everything is that we have the money. We have the money to develop the schools, put in sanitation, help people who are living out in rural areas in absolute poverty. We have those funds. It's just they're being criminally taken away and siphoned away, as we're hearing every single day, and used by people to basically better themselves as the detriment of the rest of the country. And it really is appalling. And that's where the sooner we have people who are held accountable, and by being held accountable, that means being punished, we're not going to get over that hurdle. But, you know, you talk of the figures. Does anyone understand how many noughts there are when you say a billion or a trillion? Because if you add those noughts together in round terms, that's what's being siphoned away from South Africa. And you know, as another prime minister of another country once said, the government only has money which is given to it by its people. In other words, the money the government has is the people's money, and they should be held totally accountable at all times.
Yeah, servants of the people and not rulers. And I also make the mistake of referring to the ANC often as the ruling party. It's the governing party. It should be there to govern, and it's there to serve. And to use your analogy of that racing car stuck in second gear, if you've got the wrong driver behind the wheel, you're going to have one of the best racing cars in the world. You're not going to win the race. So is it not now time to ask, is the governing party the best driver for this particular car? And I think increasingly the answer is self-evident. And you turn to the budget. There's a great saying about a budget should be balanced not by more taxes, but by the reduction of follies. Boy, do we have a lot of follies in South Africa. Were there enough signs that this budget is committed to reducing the follies for you?
Well, absolutely. But the ANC will say, well, you know, we took over when the country had 40-odd years of apartheid. Absolutely correct. But they've been in power now 27 years. And 27 years is a long time. And certain things will take a long time to sort out. But other things, low-hanging fruit, which we often talk about, and you talk about a lot on this program, those low-hanging fruits are still not being grasped and used. And we've had so many instances in the last 12 months of ministers shooting themselves and us in the foot. And you mentioned the Minister of Commerce, Mr. Patel, some of the things that he has done, it beggars belief when we have other priorities. What are the priorities in this country? It's to get the economy running, and that means we'll have more jobs, and that means we'll have money going through the fiscus. And we all know one of the best ways to do that is by addressing infrastructure issues. And as Roger Baxter of the Minerals Council said at the last mining indaba, one of the best ways is for the minister to take a pen and strike out a lot of the red tape that stops the mining industry from blossoming. And they're going to miss out on this commodities boom if we're not careful. They're already doing very well, but they could do so, so much better. And the minister has it in his hands. He has the power to change that and help the whole mining industry, which would help the whole community of South Africa.
And that is the bottom line. You know, the finance minister can only do so much. He then hands the ball down to his cabinet colleagues. And if your Minister of Minerals and Energy just isn't moving on issues that seem absolutely like open goals, then what are we doing but scoring own goals and not taking those opportunities? And you actually reminded me today that part of our finance minister's education was at the University of East Anglia, which is in Norwich in the UK, which is home of Coleman's mustard. So the big question is he cutting it, Jeremy?
Well, I found myself in Norwich for the first time about 3 years ago, and I found myself actually wandering around looking at a delightful little city, and there was this little museum to Coleman's, and you go in there and the history and the heritage. Look, I think most people would agree that Tito Mboweni has been doing a much better job than some of his predecessors. We had some predecessors who were in there for what, a matter of hours, or was it a couple of days? He's got the knowledge. He's got the background. He's been governor of the Reserve Bank. People forget that. He's been in industry. People forget he was chairman of Anglo Gold Ashanti. He's a man of the world, and he's a man of finance. I just think that at the moment, he's probably incredibly restricted by the pressures, the headwinds that he has to put up with within the ANC. So he has to play the political game as well as the financial game. Mm. And that's where I think, looking back on what he's done yesterday, he's done a pretty good balancing act, having been given a pretty rough hand to play with.
And he mentioned the highways of this country in his speech yesterday. My major concern, and I think for many in the market and business broadly, is that all of these political pressures see the minister heading back on the highway on the R71 back to Mokgobo's Kloof and saying, I've had enough of this. There doesn't seem to be any sign overtly just yet that he's going to throw it all in. But he has drawn drawn some lines in the sand around expenditure here that are going to upset powerful forces in the ruling alliance, cutting things like social grants, cutting health care in real terms, cutting expenditure on education, and in the areas that actually matter here. Yes, we need to be spending on education. Do we need to be spending 10% on salary increases compounded over a decade with the various bonuses and trimmings that come with it? Definitely not. But those are the difficult, tough political choices that the finance ministers had to make. So, Jeremy, my concern as a parting thought is whether or not the minister is going to stay and see this fight through.
Well, I think we've been talking about this for some almost years now, because he doesn't need this job. No, he's financially secure. He will be offered jobs around the world. He can go out on the world stage. And I think we need him here desperately at the moment. No, the government is not a charity. The country is virtually bankrupt. We need someone like him to do the hard yards to get things lined up. I must say the Treasury seems to have done pretty well the last few days, and I'm delighted for that. But no comment about Eskom, no comment about SA Airways. Sending an SA Airways plane all the way to Brussels to pick up some vaccines and come back again, well, how much money is that costing? And probably a couple of us that have gone with overnight bags via Qatar, picked them up and brought them back for, I don't know, a thousandth of the price.
Jeremy Sampson, the brand father with the unalloyed brands and sets, as always.